Hello, hello everyone to our group call today, our added group call. It's nice to be here today, and I'm just going to put you guys into active. Hello, everybody can say hi. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
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 There. Hello. Nice to be here. Okay, thank you. All right, so some of the third modules have already gone out, and we're going to go over a little bit of what happened in module 2 and then also blend in module 3 and also specifically the energies of today and this weekend. And I have some questions here that I want to go into right away, which is that was from Cindy, who is it's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Cindy. You're not on the call, but you'll be hearing later. I hope you have a wonderful day. And she was asking how to unhook the mind, and that when she sits, and I'm sure this is a question for everybody who wants to meditate, is when you sit and then sensations come in, and sensations are from the body, and that you are then being distracted and the mind goes off wandering around. Good, great question. So how to unhook the mind? It is really the same thing like saying, how do I become enlightened instantly? That's really the same question, how to unhook the mind. Because if you do that, you wake up, you're awake. And so the practices are all about to do it over and over again, the unhooking. So not to get frustrated, just know that that's what you have to do. You just sit with your allotted time and you keep disciplining yourself to go back to what is actually the truth. And that means to be focused on whatever practice you've chosen, maybe your breath or the image or the mantra that you use. Or if you put your attention on your chakra, on the heart, and then you just, go back there, just gently keep going back there. If your mind wanders off, you just kind of bring your attention back to, because you're aware that your mind wandered. The moment you're aware, you're already unhooked from the thought. So that's important. I'll repeat that. The moment you are aware that your mind wandered, you've already unhooked yourself. You're just hooked when you're not aware, when you're just daydreaming, you're off and you realize, oops, I was just, going off on a journey there for a few minutes. So it's just normal and to accept it. It's the acceptance that sooner or later something happens by just doing this, bringing yourself back into the present moment. The other thing I wanted to talk about is there was a question about, I can't remember who asked it, but I have sort of memory of what's awakening and what's enlightenment, because here we are in module 2, almost 3, and what are we doing? What are we looking for? And I think it's good to revisit, and we're going to revisit this over and over again, because your understanding will be very different in the next, few modules. If you're going to ask the question in module 6, 7, 8, or 9, or 10, and you're looking back, you will have a different perspective and understanding. And so in my definition, because I said that everybody defines this differently, in my definition, it is this, the way it's used loosely in the general public right now, that one has awakenings. In that sense, I understand it, that this person has is not completely asleep in the ego, in the I am this person, this identity, but has suddenly a glimpse of that they're also a soul, that they're not all their thoughts, and et cetera, et cetera. And so, and there can be more space between you and between the, it's almost like saying the identity has a little bit more room. It's a little bit stretched out and it's more peaceful, and you have a little bit more room to recognize that you're not your problems. But that's, in my understanding, not awakening, because your awakening means, full awakening means that you realize who you are. And that means that your identification, when you say I, that has slipped into the core. And it is fully, not just, you know, in the center of the head, but it's pretty much in the whole core. It's the empty space in the middle of the record of the vinyl that I talk about, that empty space. So when you say I, you actually don't have a sense of there's nobody, there's like nobody there. And some people talk like that, there's nobody here. And but it is actually a new I. And so you identify as that, and you can't get out. It's either or. It's like being pregnant or not. You either fully identify with the core, or you're identified with the content of your story, with the grooves of the material that identifies who you, that is your identification. So it's either or. It's very radical. It's a radical shift, and you can never go back. It's done. It's like you have lost it after that. It's like once you ate the strawberry, you know the strawberry. You can't forget about it. So that is, in my understanding, when I talk about you woke up or have become self-realized. You realize who the self is. Who is your true self? What is your true self? Now, when that happened and you identify with the emptiness, then there is no resistance. The clearing goes on autopilot. It just goes on autopilot because you're empty space. So in that moment, and I'm not talking about empty space in the sense of the fifth paradigm. I'm not talking about that. The fifth paradigm is space in relation to the elements. It is the space in which all the other four elements exist. No, I'm talking about nothingness. That's better, the better word. There's nothingness. It's the source of the light itself. So when there's really nothing there, then everything can come into that and arises. So all your karmas will start coming home. It's like you're resting in your core. You know who, that's who you are. You don't think about it because you're just living your life. And then all your karmas in your past shows up and begins to just go home. And it becomes automatic. So, and because you're burning up your own karmas, what happens is that the core that you are begins to expand, because your own karmas, the densities are the fuel that, as they slip back into the source that you are, you begin to radiate in the realm of time and space, in the embodiment, you begin to radiate light. And first, just a little bit. And then it's more and more and more, and until it becomes sometimes quite obvious, you know, to some other people. It can be actually photographed, actually. I've done this years ago, photographing it with a digital camera. Sometimes you can actually capture the light that comes, that radiates out of the crown chakra, that causes this halo, and then expands out into the field, into the body. So that is, so first in my understanding is you slip into the core, you become that, you woke up, and then enlightenment begins automatically. And you have a choice, you know, you have free will. So, most of the time you just kind of work with the process of the enlightenment. And then the full enlightenment is a whole other story, when all, your whole body gets transmuted, and the samskaras is a Sanskrit word for your programming. All the samskaras come up. They need to be roasted in the light, that's the language in the East, in the Vedas, is that because when you have a seed that is not roasted, is not burned in the fire of God and the fire of this, of existence, if you don't roast a seed, it begins to sprout. You know, if you leave it there, it starts sprouting. So everything, all your karmas have to be roasted. Now, there is now something that maybe I'll just add to this here, and we can go back to it later again, because maybe later it makes even more sense. This universe is very, very complex, and there are seven major rays, and it's almost like seven highways. And if you read, for example, the Yoga Vasishtha or some of the classic texts, you see that there are great avatars like Rama that came into incarnation and they had a guru. They had a guru. Vasishtha was his guru. And so when you already have achieved enlightenment in another life and you have mastered one particular highway of creation, you actually come back in order to master another highway. So it is a complex journey. There's a great beings that have already achieved enlightenment in other lifetimes and have mastered certain things, and then they come back and they master another angle of it, and it's infinite. So there is no, everything about this universe, it is continuously evolving. So don't think of that there is an end road to it. So there are many teachers even in that existed in the last two centuries that would have a teacher, and that teacher was just there to kind of lift a veil for them or something, and to remind them. And then usually in at a very young age, everything just kind of came back, because there's a certain level of unconscious that most people are born into, and you kind of start waking up out of that again. Now, what else can we say about that? The main thing for you is to get out of suffering. And the suffering has to do with realizing you're not your thoughts. And that is what this practice in the second module is helping you to have the tool to come out of the configuration of what the mind is made of. And you're learning that the mind is polarized, and it is also polarized not just in dark and light, in aversion, attraction, but it's also polarized in conscious and unconscious. So we see this in the squares. This is the mechanics of this universe. And when you think of a square and you divide your page into four quadrants, where the two lines cross that point, that's really emptiness. That is who you are as awareness. So we're collapsing like the water that drains out of a sink, the four corners back into that, through that point. And so we continuously recycle the old that we're stuck on, because the third paradigm is it's like a hoarding paradigm. We produce a lot of stuff, and it's just there, and it's sitting there, and it's too much, and we do recycle everything. There was no flow, right? Your parents that were born in the old paradigm, and many of us were born in the old paradigm, the third paradigm, there was no flow. It was all about hoarding. And then we went through the fourth paradigm, the earth slipped into the fourth paradigm, there was flow, everything, suddenly energy became a word, and body work and flow, and we talked about vibes and all this stuff. This just was something my grandparents never used, these words. And so we started to flow, and then the earth moved into the fifth paradigm, which basically is recognizing that whatever was accumulated, all this matter doesn't need to even flow. It actually is also space. If we squeeze the entire cosmos into this universe and together, the amount of matter that there is just fits onto the tip of a needle. The head of a needle is really tiny, and even that is made out of space. So we're learning to shift our perception and how to see and perceive things. So you will find a lot of different teachers in history and also today that have different embodiments of the light and understanding, and their angle of projecting the truth through the vehicle that has a particular dosha and a particular configuration of experience with their lives will be different. And sometimes those actually contradict. And in that sense, it's sometimes confusing when we listen to several teachers because they contradict. But the most important thing is if you really feel yourself into a teacher, there should be the emptiness. If there's something there that you hit an obstacle and then the teacher is not a portal and there's no emptiness. Emptiness matters. It doesn't matter what the teacher says and what the teacher does. None of that matters because most teachers don't make sense. You see, they don't even go always by what is normal. It matters if the emptiness is, if you can move through that. And that's really what matters. There was a question about, I think it was Kasri. You asked about initiations a while ago. What's an initiation, really? There's words of attunement, activations, and initiations. I would like to kind of comment on all of them the way I mechanically or practically execute these things. An attunement is when you are in the presence of a particular vibration. It's just like there is a resonance, and then you start resonating like that as well. So it is sort of an offering, and you can resonate with it or you can just, you know, not resonate with it at all. It's like participating in a conversation or not. You have to sort of, there's free will. And activation is different because you're actually touching another person. It's almost like dabbing them with a new color. Let's say you're blue and then you will put maybe a different color on top, not, let's say red, and suddenly there's red with you and you know about that frequency that you didn't know before. And so you have it available. Now, an initiation is, initio means to begin something, right, in Latin. And in the way from the Eastern tradition, it's called Diksha, which means is that there is a Shakti involved, there's a Kundalini Shakti that is real, that is the emptiness, that's the clear light of existence. And it basically, the identity that you are, it kind of rips, basically, it's like it takes something out, some part of the karma out, and opens up a window for you to your own self, so that you are reminded. It's like an unconscious reminding of who you are, and it's forever there. It can't be taken away. It's like something opened, and it's always there, and works itself. That kind of beeping or resonance within you, that it's, you can then work that into the rest of your aura and the rest of your identity. You can spread it out by doing the practice. So something you didn't know was introduced, and it was from within yourself. It is your own true self that you were pointed to, and you can touch and feel. And depending how much clutter there is and how much karma, you're either going to have a very strong experience during the initiation or not. The thing is that sometimes the finer the energy is and the less gross the energy is, and it has such a fine vibration, the more you will actually miss actually what happened. And you might find that weeks later or something, or days later, something happens and that you can relate to that. Or you just look 3 months down the road, you look back and you think, oh my God, everything's different, or something like that. So it'll be very unique to your karmic configuration, how you sense things, and etc. So I hope that kind of explains a little bit, you know, what these different things are. And the initiation is something very radically different. You're altered. You identify who you are, and your vibration is altered after that. And okay, I'm just going to quickly check if there are any questions, answers written in. No, we don't have any written in. Okay. Okay, so in the third module now, that we came into the third module, it's all really about the heart now, right? And the psychic practices that we are sort of beginning to practice, they're very simple, as you probably noticed. The psychic realm is the heart, and you just have to bring attention there, meditate on it, and then your skills just develop. And it just comes from within. It's like going to the source of who you are and basically start listening what's within you. How is your soul expressing, you know, the sensory capacities? You know, maybe you can will be more auditory, maybe you become more clairvoyant, maybe you just know things, whatever it is. And I find it helps to practice the surrenderedness, the listening to what you really are, because you are already beautiful and perfect as who you are. You don't have to practice a particular, you know, a complicated method. That's what my point is. And also, you know, it doesn't stand in contradiction to going deeper into yourself. So you, when you are fully awake, you're naturally psychic. I mean, we're not practicing a psychism that's sort of around the corner where we are almost like training a particular limb and just forget the rest of the body. It has to be a whole and fully integrated process so that it is healthy to you and that you are well. And the main thing is that you are also being invited to keep your attention elevated and to learn, really, to notice, you know, what goes through your mind and where do you dwell. And in that way, you can shift gear and become more masterful. And it's really not that difficult to just shift gear. I think that the hardest part is to not become impatient and frustrated, or to meet your own expectations. Because your own expectation, you have to see your own expectation. That is also just identity. Just, you know, just, it's okay. You just walk by it. Don't worry so much about your expectations. Don't try to feel bad about yourself. It's just something that keeps coming up because it's resistance. And in the body has gravity. We live on this planet with gravity and resistance. It's just part of it. And it's nice. And we won't, you know, we won't listen to it in the wrong places. But in the right places, it's beautiful. Otherwise, like I always say, your breakfast table and will float up in the ceiling. We need resistance. That's the, that helps us to be here in the body. So this is as much as comes to me right now. We are, tomorrow is the new moon. So this is a very silent time. And it's sort of, in the pagan calendar, it's the end of the year where, you know, the life force goes underground. And it's very quiet and still, and the veils between the worlds are very thin. And so your unconscious is very available. And so this is a really great time to do a lot of squares. Maybe you start to become conscious of some other things. But you also are able to kind of slip through the gap and realize there's neither the unconscious nor the conscious, and really enjoy that, the stillness. So we'll do a meditation on that at the end. So if anybody has a questions or wants to just connect with me and just even if you just want to sit still with me for a moment or have something to share, you can raise your hand and I'll just go through that. Okay, so I'm going to ask, I'm going to unmute Joanne. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, I'll write you off.
Hey there.
So nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. Thank you. Yours too. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm just transitioning here. I spent a little over 3 weeks in Maui and we just got back, so I'm still a little bit tired and discombobulated, but I'm really noticing the difference between what I did over there and what I do at home. So I'm just a little bit off balance and I feel like I need a little bit more centering to...
Okay.
Renew my routine.
Oh, so you're just saying that you're out of your routine, basically.
Yeah, and I have, you know, like an incredible desire to get back on the Stairmaster, but it's been 2 days and I haven't gotten back on it yet. That kind of thing where your brain is going, you should be doing this, and, you know, don't have any expectations. And, you know, and I'm just looking at it all going, okay, well, when are you just going to settle down and do what you know to do that makes you feel really good?
Yeah, well, you're also, your body is between time zones and locations and all that, right? So, and I always say everything exists already in your core, so your routine is already here. And just open yourself to it and just know that it already exists. There's nothing we have to produce and manufacture, it already exists.
That's how I feel. I feel like it's already there, and I almost just need to be still enough to let it come up.
Yeah, let's be still for a moment right now. Really, everybody coming into this present moment. And then when you're in this present moment, everything just unfolds and flows perfectly from that place. And then there is no comparing between here and there, or what should be, what shouldn't be, what's good, what's not good. It's just here and contentment. There's nowhere to go, nowhere to reach. Just go a little deeper in your heart, Joanne.
Mm-hmm.
Rest a little deeper, yeah.
Put the phone down.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, whenever your hands are connected to the heart, that's right. Yeah, that's much better. And when you open your eyes, just look into the room, just be here. And how is that? Is that easy?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, there's no suffering right now?
No, I feel when I hear your voice, I get very calm and connected.
Good.
It's a definite knowing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's beautiful. You know, anything that works, my voice carries emptiness as well. So many people just slip right into it, just hearing the voice, and that's good. Whatever works, it's a portal, right? So, but what you're learning is that, hey, it's always been here. Mind gets, there's movement, right? And when there's movement, I think that one of the things that we're going to really learn here in the next 2-3 modules, until we really, might hope is that everybody is going to be really masterful at that, is that when you are in movement and when it seems like you're out of your core or something, that you are knowing that that is a trick. You can never leave yourself. The who you are is not gone. You don't have to go back there. See what I'm saying?
Say that again. Say that.
Yeah. Yes, I'll say that again. Is that when the mind is busy, we have sensations of being out of balance, and we have a sensation of a little bit of suffering or more suffering. And when you experience suffering, you will become so alert and so clear that you know that I, who I am, doesn't suffer. It doesn't matter. I can't go anywhere. I've always been here. Sometimes I am eclipsed by clouds, by thoughts, and sometimes not. Sometimes I shine, but I'm always the same.
Okay, I hear that.
You hear that, yeah. And that brings peace, because then you don't even suffer in that moment. Suffering only happens when you believe the mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you were saying, what were we talking about? You were saying nobody's here. When you're in that space, nobody's here. My feeling is everybody's here when I get into the space of the light.
The same thing. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's the same thing. The all, everybody, or nothing. It's the coin with two sides. We can't talk about it, right?
Well, it's like you need a new language for it. Our words aren't accurate for the
feeling. I know. That's right. And you know, we sometimes create new words, right? But at the same time, you know, then who's the person that listens to the new word? The mind will appropriate the word, will make copies of it, and then they get diluted again. So this is why the only way we can do it is to actually feel like I said earlier, can you walk and fly through the portal? Is this word empty? You know, even if you don't understand the meaning of the word, is the word, and some of you guys do this, right? You read something and something happens, and that's all you do. You know, oh, okay, there's something in there that kind of shifted me. And that's all that really matters. The content doesn't matter.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. It's as soon as you feel it, then you understand the words.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, and welcome back. Okay.
Thank you much.
Thanks. Okay, bye. Thank you. Yes, yes. Okay, so we have Rosemary here. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yeah.
Oh, good.
It's a little muffled, but I can manage.
Oh. That's
good.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to be here. I just needed to be here.
You just want to be here. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I must have gone through a lot of
okay. It's a little muffled, but I'm hearing that you just want to tune in and just be here. So let's just do that.
Yeah. Can you hear me better now?
That's better. Yes. That's thank better. You.
Yes. Oh. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to tune in and. Feel
yeah.
better actually.
Yeah. And how's your meditation going?
When I do the inner core work, the inner core meditation is fine. When I am doing the gazing, it feels like a constant battle.
Try to just, like when you gaze at clouds, just kind of really let the image come into your eye and just totally relax.
Okay.
The gazing, it should be very simple. I mean, when you were in school, maybe you looked out the window and just gazed, right? I mean, we had windows at school back then. And we just look out the window because boring class and you just gaze and you just go away and you're just meditating.
Right.
It should be fun. It's actually easy.
Okay.
Yeah, and you see, we're noticing that we are making life so hard. The mind is trying to do something, and as long as you're trying to do something, there's suffering, and that's what we're trying to get back away from, right? So, it actually sometimes effort can be full of pleasure if it's true effort. So if you pull yourself back and you really enjoy the concentration and you surrender yourself to that focus. That is actually more pleasurable than actually following a thought, because you will notice when you follow a thought, you're contracting, and contraction is pain.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. So for everyone to kind of really notice that.
Yes. That's very helpful, Aratima.
Good.
I'll remember that, because I can focus on my heart with my eyes closed, and I can go into a completely different space.
Yeah.
So I guess I have to find what's comfortable to do.
Yes, and if you have one of the methods that I've offered you, because everybody's a little different, we're not all the same, you know.
Yes.
If we can really make a really rough cut of the population, there's going to be three different paths, maybe. You know, one will be through the head, one through the heart, and one through the belly.
Okay.
And so if you feel like your heart is the place where you are really keep going deeper and expanding deeper into it, then just do that. And that will be your meditation. And and if you feel like you get stuck, then go to play around with the other stuff I offered you. If you feel like, and I'm not saying talking to you directly here, but if somebody feels like their mind is very undisciplined, then you might actually need to do some more gazing, you know, so that you focus the mind, bring it back. And so it'll depend, and we'll shift and change. You see, every day there's a different astrology. Every day something happens, also what foods you eat, how much sleep you had. You are constant flux, and sometimes you feel like you need to focus and gaze, and sometimes you just need to, maybe it just feels like the energy needs to really sink deep into the belly and you need to meditate in your navel center, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate that, yeah.
Yeah, my goal is not to give you a particular technique. I'm offering some pathways that are fast, that work really fast. They are very safe. If you don't overdo it with the third eye and the belly center in the beginning, but that's why initially we do the psychic work in the heart. And then, you know, once you go and you're into the light and or there's emptiness, you're there.
Yes.
Okay, then just fly, just float and float. And that's where you go and you keep going back there. And then as we go through the modules, it'll become way more creative. Like the advanced meditations are way more creative because you're starting to recreate yourself. You see,
it's
a very creative process. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Aretama, it feels like I've been like, if you think about a swing going back and forth and back and forth, it feels like I'm, when I feel myself, I say, I think it's swinging, but it's slowing down.
Right now in this moment? Or
no,
just general?
Recently. Yeah, just in general.
That's good. So you feel it energetically, yeah?
Yeah, I feel it energetically.
Okay.
It almost feels like, because I've been trying to, not trying, but noticing, okay, where am I? And I think, wow, I'm stiller, but I still have, of course, attraction aversions. I'm still, you know, I still need to do this, everything. But
yeah, they'll remain. Yeah, the attraction aversions remain until you're identified with the core completely.
Yes.
And you will also experience a lot of stillness, and then you're going, because you're identifying more and more with the emptiness, the core. So when you are more of that, then you suddenly are this like schizophrenic state. You're just like having the identity out there in your aura, like in that, you know, you can feel the energies, and obviously they're moving. When you say it's swinging back and forth, there's something like a pendulum wants to come to a standstill and to a zero point.
Yes.
So you have this experience of several things going on at the same time. When you're in meditation and you're like still and you identify with the stillness, you can actually just, you can be with that. Don't interfere with it. Just be with it. Let it happen. It's almost like you almost meditate on that without touching it.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, and it's a more pleasant thing.
Okay. Yeah. Good. And obviously something's going on with your physical, energy center. You're bringing in some emptiness into the cells because of it's very sensation oriented, which will help with health. Everything that has to do with your belly center will help with your physical health as well.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I really appreciate everything you're doing for us. Thank you, Rosemary.
Thank you, Rosemary. Thanks for your question. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, so we have in Glen Rock, 307. Hello?
That's me.
Hi, who's that?
Hi, this is Antonia.
Antonia, hi there. Okay. Yeah, hi. How are you? I heard you had some very intense experiences already.
I really have. But I don't have, in a way, I don't think I have a question, but I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to ask me, because I always think, I don't have a question. Oh, somebody already asked my question. But I want you that you ask me. I don't know. Whatever you think.
I should ask you, you say? What's going on with you?
Yes.
Well, we are all different, and what you're shown to me and to us is that you, when you started the course, you went very big, a very big pendulum from dark to light, right? Very dark, very difficult time, and then bang, you went into the light. Now, the thing is that you're neither one of those. You're not the darkness, you're not the light. You're that which experiences it. Okay, receive that for a moment. You're that which experiences it. And maybe in your life you've always had some extreme things where, you know, everything was not kind of, some people are kind of very neutral, they're gray or beige, and then others are like, you know, very intense up and down. Have you been like that before?
All my life.
There you
go. All my life has been like that. It's been either very, very stressful or smooth. I mean, like, but nothing in the middle. And I've been in the middle.
Mm-hmm. So obviously you're really, really looking at something and trying to encompass your awareness, encompassing a bigger spectrum of lots of bright and lots of dark, and making a reconciliation of them so that you are even happier in this life. Because if you can hold and straddle them both at the same time, can you imagine how powerful you are? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've been doing in the last this month, after I went into that dark space where I didn't even think I was in this world at all,
mm-hmm.
where I was walking, but I feel like I was not touching the ground,
mm-hmm.
like nothing was real.
Yes.
People were not real.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was gray. The sun wasn't even there. I don't want to go back there. I don't. And then I got a hold of you in the group. And then I turn around, and then everything light up. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, you are describing the psychic realms, the lower astral realms, and they are lower and lower and lower realms that are quite dark.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
when you say, mm-hmm. I'll never want to go back there, well, they are part of your body. You are everything, okay? I am everything. We are all everything.
Okay.
What you don't want is to identify with that only.
Okay.
The pain. When you identify with a partiality, with an aspect or just a sliver of the universe, and you're stuck there, that's the pain. Because you as consciousness encompass everything, and then you contract so strongly, it's so strong, you contract and so tight that all the light is squeezed out, and you think, oh my God, so dark, this is horrible, I don't want to be here, but it's actually you just
but something that I have given me peace in the last probably week, where I have really feel good about, doesn't matter what is going on, is this is what I told myself: everything in my life is in divine order.
That's nice.
So whatever it is, whatever the people I have in my life right now that I don't like, for whatever reason, they are in divine order.
Mm-hmm.
I need them in my life for whatever reason to teach me something. Or people who's coming in my life later on, or people who are gone.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It's a way of thinking, as you're using your mind as a tool to surrender. Yeah.
You're
using your mind as a thought in order to surrender. And that's good. That's beautiful. And take it deeper. Yes, absolutely.
Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely. You do it until it feels a little too small or too, you know, like we have toys and we kind of outgrow
mm-hmm.
them. So this is a toy right now, and you're going to use this, and at some point you outgrow it, and we're going to give you something more complex, a little bit more challenging.
Okay.
Yeah, and you will know when that is. Okay? All right. Sounds great. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks. Yes, thank you. Okay, right. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, so I'm going to unmute B in Singapore. Hi. Hi, B.
Hi, Gurma.
Hi there. How are you? Oh, I can hear you so well today. Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's so good line today. Wonderful. Yeah, so do you have a question today?
Many.
Which one is the most important?
The most important one is thank you for putting up the group Rupanche, the Paramasambhava picture.
Okay, you're welcome. I just picked some random pictures, and anybody can use anything they're drawn to that is a true being, you know, or a light being of light. So that's just perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is exactly the same one that I have. I have a tanka at home, and it's exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I guess I must have known or something, or somehow it was known to me or whatever. Things just happen.
So I was thinking, because you actually put up the 40 days practice.
Yeah.
So if I have already by my free will recognize you as my guru, so I don't have to do that exercise, right?
You don't have to. No, not at all. Not at all. It's something that I wanted to, like I said, something for the later modules, because as we go deeper and deeper, it becomes, and you start to touch on beings, I want to eliminate confusions. But I noticed there's a confusion already right now. And essentially, it is very important. It's not who is the teacher and how many. The thing is that one must catch oneself when the mind is seeking, and the seeking has to stop. And so it should just be for a reason to rest, to come to rest, to land, so that you land and you just have peace. That's all it is, you know.
Yeah, because I think a living guru is very important, because just like what you mentioned earlier, is someone that you can talk to, attach to during these moments of learning.
Yeah, that's true. There are satgurus and there's gurus. Do you know the difference?
No.
Sat means truth, and there's a certain level of satyam, where the Gayatri comes from, or where the pure light is. And usually a guru, a satguru, makes you a guru, and that's sort of the tradition. I mean, there's a lot of, we are like, it depends, you know, so there's this Indian tradition, that's where the word comes from, but there's, we have Western traditions and other traditions. There's people that, I mean, Eckhart Tolle is a guru, but he doesn't have somebody appointed him. So there's culture also mixed up with that. And, you know, and I have a little bit of culture mixed up with that, but I kind of don't go by any of that. But I use some of the words, because like we talk with Rosemary, we just need words, you know, somehow. But satgurus will take you on as a disciple in order to, they take you through from lifetime to lifetime. They actually take responsibility for your soul to wake you up. And guru is more of a job where you are dispelling the work. And although I have taken disciples in the past, I don't do this right now. I let it happen. If it happens through me, I don't, my mind and who I am as a person doesn't say, oh, I accept you as my student. Do you understand? It's, I'm going to watch what happens as who I am, as the greater being, divine self, does the work. Am I making sense? So, if there's a meeting, there's another person that she's on the call today too. I know she's there all the time, and she is right there in my heart. And when somebody is there, well, then they get the guidance. I can't do anything about it. It's like we're sort of the slaves to the students, really. And it's the quality of the student that matters. You know, I said to my students back then, I said, you just take a mug from your kitchen and just appointed to be your guru and surrender yourself to that mug, everything about you, you'll wake up, because I mean, it doesn't have, the mug doesn't have all the consciousness of like a mind like a human, but if you surrender and always choose the mug prior to your problems and prior to your suffering, and you always just love that mug, well, that love will liberate you, right? So it's not the guru that does the work, it is the disciple that does the work.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. But the guru will So I was going to say one more thing. The guru, though, will, a true guru, and maybe I'll tell that story today or tomorrow, maybe, of what happened to me. It's like they just come and they just squash you really hard. That's what happened to me. It's like, wow, because the ego gets sort of shattered, right? And usually that happens. It can happen often in person. Sometimes it happens, you know, in a different way. But, yeah, so anyway, enough of that. So we're going to say?
Yeah, you already said it. So I hope you don't mind.
No. That's good. It's good. Yeah. And so your job is to basically just not even see the person, but move through that which is embodied, you know, that resonates, and you work with that, you struggle, and you find out where do you react, and what is really, you know, always remembering that everything's light, everything's reality, and not getting stuck on anything, right? And that's the important part.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yes.
I'll move on, eh?
Okay, the Kapapati breathing.
Yeah.
I'm doing that like, I started off with 5 minutes, and now I'm moving on to 10 minutes, and now I'm doing like 22 times then I rest and so forth. It's not that moment when I'm doing it, but it's the after effects. I feel like the lower abdomen is like churning and turning.
What part is, what is churning and turning?
The lower abdomen.
Lower, the, yes. Mm-hmm.
The Tan Tien area, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and then and I feel the aches, but the aches, I'm ignoring the aches because this is like part and parcel, so I'm more of concerned about that. Is that the cause? And also, at times when I meditate, I can feel like in my mind, or rather in the head, not the mind, sorry, in the head there are like stars, numbness and stars.
There are, sometimes you will clean out a numbness in a limb or something, or some prickle or some stuff, but you don't want to like hyperventilate in a way that you kind of faint. So are you talking about fainting?
No, not at all. No. It's
no,
very
you just
nice.
Do you see the starry sky? Are you seeing the starry sky?
Right. I'm seeing stars and I'm seeing like there's a passing wave of numbness for like maybe a second or two. So I'm just wondering, is that like maybe some guidance angels or light or something?
What happens is that when you do Kapalbhati breathing, and it's good to at the end when you're done, you breathe out fully and you lock your perineum and you pull in the stomach and you basically bring your attention up to the third eye and you let the energy flow up. What we want to bring the energy flowing up, right? And what happens is there's a lot of channels between the third eye and the crown chakra. There's a lot of pathways. The main one is the Brahma channel. But there's a lot of pathways. And so when the energy pierces through these pathways and you open up parts of you has been dormant as consciousness, you're going to have strange experiences. But they open up and the energy pushes through and you begin to unfold more and more of you as consciousness. And they have different experiences. And when you push through, it sometimes feels like numbness because you are numb. We're numb to the universe. I mean, what do we really sense, right? We're just very contracted. Mm. Yeah.
So
yeah, I want you to write down in detail what exactly happens and write it to email it to me, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But I'm not so sure. Not so good at expressing.
Try. Yeah. No. Who is who? Yeah, just try. You will learn. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next one. Okay,
thank you.
Thanks, V. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, the next person is Kazri. Hi, Kazri. And,
hi, Latima.
Hi there.
Hi.
What's the question today? How are you doing?
I'm emotional a little bit, but I think it's joyful. Maybe a bit of fear. I had this moment today when, okay, if I can formulate this. In the past, what I've done for a long time, I used to read all the stuff about law of attraction and vision boards and, you know, create this wonderful life. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea what I want to create. And other than I just want to be able to support myself and enjoy what I do. Mm-hmm. So I had this moment today when I felt like I just surrendered. I just said all I want to do is wake up, and I fully trust that if I fully surrender to waking up, everything will be okay. Somehow everything, I'll be guided to where I'll be living, what I'll be doing, to support myself, that everything will be okay. And there was all this freedom in that. And then I got scared. And I went, what if God's version of me surrendering and awakening means I'm going to be like homeless or something?
So a thought arose, right? It was a thought, right? So you did something actively. You actually surrendered and just trusted. And then a thought came up, right? Do you remember exactly the moment? It was a thought. Was it fear, a sensation, or a thought?
It was a thought.
Right. A sensation is actually a thought in the body. Sometimes you have the sensation first, or you have the thought first, and then the sensation depends, really. But essentially, it's a thought that came up. And because you are believing your thoughts, you're going to then react to it and then think about it, and you caught in a loop, right? And now all of a sudden, and then there's all this worry comes up and all this stress, and you're noticing that you're suffering, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So what part of it is important? It is important that you do not suffer. So when was the moment when you did not suffer?
When I decided to surrender to awakening and to fully trust in that.
Beautiful. So your mind is saying, okay, but what if I be homeless and all this? So essentially, people make vision boards and do all these things because what do they want? They want to make sure that they don't suffer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but if you're already not suffering, like, where's the problem?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Okay,
I mean,
so I try to
stay. Okay.
Okay, yes, that is so true. And then there's the butt.
Okay, why does the butt come up? Let's look at this, because the butt always comes up. What is that? Yeah. What is that? I want you to look, investigate.
It's because I need to know and figure it out what I'm going to do.
Is that a particular part of you? Can you recognize it? It's something other than the surrendered part?
It's not the surrendered part.
Who are you? Are you the surrendered part or that other part? Which one is Kasri?
Well, the surrendered one definitely feels like the more peaceful one. Yes.
Who is the real one?
The surrendered one.
Are you sure?
I want to be.
I know, but are you sure? Yeah. Yeah. The confusion has been a big, big problem in your part, right? Yeah, it's okay. So it's moving through. You're noticing feelings and confusions moving through. The struggle, the one that struggles, moves through. All these pieces of the identity, you're none of these things. Obviously, they come and go. Sometimes they're hidden. Now they're kind of becoming more obvious. And it's all happening within you as eternity that you are, and within you as awareness. Who are you?
The emptiness.
Is it true? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you very sure?
No, I'm closer.
Well, you know, it's like pregnant or not. You can't be close pregnant. Yeah. You see, you're looking through your mind. Stop looking.
Okay.
Just stop looking. Just be here. Just be here. There's nothing to do. You just don't try even to be relating to me. As long as you relate to me as a different person, relate to me as just yourself. Like, be here. Just, there's just one self. We just have different shapes and bodies. But as we stop relating to the other in a certain way, and you drop all the masks and all these things you must do, and etc., then there's just you here, right? Okay, is that the one? What is? What's that? What came and went?
The peace and then fear, peace, and then fear.
You're looking for sensations and emotions. Did you notice that? Everything that you can name is a form and happens in duality. And it's like clouds and airplanes and balloons in the sky that you are. You are the awareness that is aware of everything. So just for a moment, forget about or just don't care about what you're going to experience, because there's always going to be another experience sooner or later. And these experiences are not even chosen by you. They're going to be imprinted on you. They're going to be pushed on you by the environment, by your samskaras, the karmas. There's always going to be something else. It's just that's life. So just for today, just take a deep breath. Okay, relax the brain and just allow okay, you know, it's like I'm just awareness. I can't see it. I can't experience awareness. I just know that I am awareness, and I will never understand it. But it's the one that looks out of these eyes. How's that? It's more still now?
Yes.
There's a stillness that remains still while emotions can move through and busyness can happen. Yeah, you're just becoming now. That's why we sit and meditate, so that we can kind of pay attention at, wow, there's the stillness has always been there. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll move on to the next person. Just stay with it. Okay, Kasri, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so I'm just going to talk to Jen. Where is Jen? Hello, can you hear me? Hi. Hello. It's on the web call. She must have muted. Yes, that's better. Now I hear you. Good, perfect. Okay. Yeah. Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
I just think I just want to connect today. I feel a bit teary. Over the last few weeks, it's been pretty full on for me. But I have a feeling, I'm not really sure what I'm feeling, but it's like an emptiness, but I don't know if it's the emptiness in the way that you're talking about it. Slow moving, tired. The slow moving's good because it helps me to be aware of my second attention. But there's still, with the meditation, a lot of the mind gets a bit crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
That's so good. When there's a lot of craziness, there's usually something working itself out, you know?
Okay, that's cool. I noticed when I was carrying a lot of anger that came up recently, it was just about everything and anything in the world. Some of it I felt was my father's anger that I was releasing. And I actually dreamt about him the next day as a very young man. And I felt there was a okayness there with that for him. I've also been, mainly through when I wasn't well, and I'm still have got a little bit of pressure on my chest and a bit of crackling in my lungs, but I woke up one day and my whole right arm was frozen, but my hand, when I looked at it, looked very long and thin, like it belonged to an alien. And I dreamt a lot about snakes and intruders in the home and weird stuff like that, but this feeling I'm in now, it's sort of like, I'm not sure if it's depressed or what.
Yeah, it's. I know what you're saying. It's a little bit. I mean, although you're on the other side of the planet, right? You're in Australia. We are midway in the. There's a midpoint on the 31st between summer, fall solstice and the winter solstice, and you have the midpoint. What is it? Thinking the other way around, somewhere between I think spring and summer, right? And so it is usually. It is a almost like a cleansing time. It is a letting go time. It is like a turning point. And that kind of depression, it feels like an emptiness. Yeah, it's not a true emptiness, because a true emptiness is liberating.
Yeah.
But just for a moment right now, everybody here today, just The thing is, we need to recognize that anything we can describe and anything we can feel is not who you are. So we're just going to let go a little bit, or realize more that, oh, like, I don't, this has nothing to do with me, who I am. And there will always be another experience. And just allowing the stillness that always exists, you know, to be bringing it to the foreground. Because what we're doing is we're exchanging the foreground and the background. Usually in the foreground is always forms and experiences, and the background is somewhere the stillness that we kind of barely notice. But we want to bring the stillness to the foreground, making that all who we are, and then the background, there's all this, you know, the forms and the events that happen, but they don't really determine who you are. They don't shape you. They don't have nothing to do with you. They came from you. You caused these things to happen. You created this body. You created this moment. You created the emotion. You are the point of the source itself that spit out, that projected out into these four corners, you know, that we process on papers, you know, these different configurations. Hey, take a deep breath and just bring your attention to the back of your neck. Good. Something is going to start opening up for you and clearing for you. And do you start feeling it already?
Yeah, there's some sensation there and there's heat up my spine.
Yeah, exactly. So there's something blocked up there. So we're just going to clear it out. It's some fog. And I wanted to finish up after I'm taking the last callers here with a, we're going to chant together, and it's fun and it's really powerful. So we'll do that. It'll help too. Okay. Thanks, Jen. Okay. Bye. Thanks. You can. Bye. Okay. So I'm going to take Wilma Zeltman. Hi there.
Hello there.
Hi.
Good to speak to you.
Good. How are you?
Okay. With a lot of confusion, but some of the things that you're speaking with others are helping putting the pieces together. It's like I'm going through phases and I don't completely understand. It's like, when I came into this world, I remember being told I wasn't supposed to be born yet, and I think I spent my life not listening. Mm-hmm. So I remember from the other side and here, and I lived my life really in being in the silence or in a place of nothingness. So I had a life of a lot of suffering because as a little child, people wanted me at 5 years old to solve adults' problems. I just never understood that. So all of a sudden now, since I'm with you, last year first time I understood that I never identified with my body and my ancestors. And it was the first time it was like, wow, that I had to go through that. I just always felt I was brought here to do work when the time was right. And now what's happening is I'm living the duality at all one time. In other words, I'm in one place, everyone I'm meeting and whatever they're saying is my duality. So it's to be collapsed.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, to take me back into the nothingness in a whole new manner.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're just basically reabsorbing what you projected out, and then you're gonna spit it out again in a new way.
But it's very strange because it was, one time I had a teacher, and she didn't like that I was able to do all the things that I did, and she was one of the gurus. What occurred is when she was going through a room with a couple hundred people there, she avoided me. I could actually feel the energy going around me, in front of me, behind me, and I always knew what she was thinking and what she was going to be doing beforehand, because I always lived in that place. And she purposely emptied me of everything that I could do.
Yeah, you know, that's why I say you want to stick to one teacher, because her approach will probably, it'll be different than my approach, and it'll take you also to the same end result. It'll just maybe not the way you like it. And gurus don't care about if you like it or not, because the ego it doesn't matter, because all that matters is that you're free. So we can't really judge was it right or wrong, but you chose that it was not something you wanted to do, or, you know, I guess that's why you're here. And there's also, you know, most teachers, if you work with lots and lots of people, you can only use one way of one method that you offer. It's just impossible, because, you know, we're a small group here. I can adapt to each person. But can you imagine, like, there was a lot more? I would have to just say, this is what we're going to do, and you just kind of do it, and then just get through your own problems and get to it anyway, because it's impossible, right? So, but what you're obviously doing is, you have more of a tantric approach. I'm essentially a tantric as well. So it is really how we basically reabsorb the world and recycle it, like on an energetic level. And so we engage with it and constantly create a oneness from things. But many of the East Indian gurus, I don't know if she was East Indian, but there is more of an approach only through the mind, which is very difficult in my understanding in this modern world, because you need a lot of silence, you need to be away from a job, and you need to be somewhere in the mountains, and that's just very, it's not what's asked to do, what we're asked to do right now. Can you imagine the whole planet of 8 billion people goes up to the Himalayas? I mean, that's really funny. So it just makes no sense, right? It'll be as busy there. It'll be quieter in New York then. So yeah, the path requires a certain lifestyle as well, and you know, sometimes also diet and all that stuff. So.
Well, that's what I am doing, the diet. I'm with all carbs, all sweets. I really feel physically better than I've ever felt. But my confusion is that, did I come in with total awareness, and now I'm getting it from this level to bring me back with a new understanding?
Yes, I can say that is. And first of all, it doesn't truly matter, because who's asking. But I will answer your question. To put a rest that part of you that is needing this piece of information, what happens? I'll use my own story. That I was born. And I was born, my awareness was so huge, because I had enlightenments in other lifetimes, especially as men. This is my first time as a woman, because this is something I haven't done. It was totally different to become enlightened as a woman. So I had to have a lot of trauma, very severe traumas that would chop up. It's almost like, you know, like kind of clamp off parts of my consciousness so that it would fit into this little baby body, because otherwise I would have been born and then died probably weeks later. So what happens is that we basically need to shut down and lock down some part of our awareness. This happened, like I said initially, when I talked about gurus are being born and they don't know who they are, and then they meet a guru and then they kind of fall back into that job and into their work. And so you basically are remembering, and there's those moments, you will actually have moments where things open up and it just floods your consciousness. It can be very disorienting, and then you start reintegrating that, and there's these major shifts that suddenly start to happen, and then you start having memories again, you know, that what you've done in a past life, or that, oh my God, this is all the stuff I already knew, or this, my God, finally I feel of myself again, because this is the way I remembered it. So yes, you can't be born fully awake. I mean, that is, I don't think it's possible in this particular dark time, in the Kali Yuga, maybe back then during Krishna's time in the Satya Yuga, because it would evaporate the body, right? It's too much light.
Well, I know I was with Krishna.
Okay. So, you know,
I have these memories.
Well, if you have these memories, that's beautiful. Write them down. And also, because they exist, you know, in the psychic module, I talk about all everything exists. Go and visit and bring back more of this realization, the vibration, the energy, and reintegrate it in this body of Vilma in this life and start expanding. I mean, at this point, the work is easy for you then, because you just have to basically keep building into this DNA that your parents gave you in this life, into this particular body, with love and care, reopen this awareness again.
Because when you're talking, you know, when you explained before, it's like my heart. My heart is from the base of my spine to my throat is my heart.
Yeah, you just bring it up to, yeah, you will have to bring up the heart all the way to the crown chakra.
Yeah, I recognize that part.
Yeah, and I think for you it'll be tricky because you're going from the fifth to the sixth, and that's a huge bridge. The fifth dimension is the path where the black and the white magician part. They're all the great, cool people are in the fifth paradigm because you can do stuff. The magicians, the demons, all exist there as well. But in order to become the light, to go into the sixth level, where you say, I am the light, you can't be dualistic and go into the light. There's only oneness. There is absolute, absolute and total surrender of yourself. So the ego has to die in that transition. And so you might find yourself into a practice that works for you, especially if you know Krishna, where you really surrender. And don't try to figure things out. Forget yourself. Forget Vilma. Forget your past lives. Because in the light, there's none of that. Okay? That all goes away. This is all a concept.
I recognize that. And I've been doing that for over a year. I am the light. And going into that nothingness, okay. I have done it. It's just that this one part of identifying with the body, and not the body, but seeing the duality in front of me. At one time.
Don't believe it. Yeah, you're being tricked.
And I was like so strange.
Yeah, but you're getting caught by the feeling of strange and that there's duality. Just ignore it. Just don't bring your attention there.
Okay, so just go back to that nothing place where I was,
yeah.
and go back just into what I've been doing, that I am in the light.
Yes, you be in the light, and the light doesn't move. It's still, it's buoyant, but it's still, and just stay there. Go into the source of the light. Keep going into, let yourself be float into the source of the light. We're going to do this more in the later modules more, but go into that and just don't move your mind actively. Just let the light move you. Offer yourself to the light.
Okay, which I've been doing, but now, that's why I required this assistance from you, because it was getting this so confused. It was taking me out of where I've been living.
Yeah, but the confusion is a trick, you see. This is an experience. You see, you need to catch that.
Okay. So that was one of my new experiences.
Oh yeah, the mind will, it's so smart, right? The ego will use everything, even the spiritual. The more advanced it gets, the ego learns, right? It'll be there up to the end, to the moment, last moment, you know, and you get so don't get tricked. Okay.
So what occurs now? So it's just, everything's always a story. Is it a new vibration of the story?
Yes, new vibration of the same story.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have chills going up and down my body.
Uh-huh. There you go. Okay. Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right. We have one more person, last person, and that is Nola. Hi, Nola.
Hi. Hi. I've been enjoying relaxing. It's
oh, good.
But I do have a question. I was meditating and trying to go into the psychic realm and ended up kind of seeing or connecting with memories. I never went that far, but it brought me to a place that I've been to in this lifetime, and I don't want to, I guess I'm not sure, obviously it was the sensations were one of suffering and discomfort, and I'm just wanting some guidance about if am I going wrong into the psychic realm? I really wasn't looking for it. You know, I'm like going in my heart and I'm sitting there and I'm, and then I feel like I was shown this time where something happened.
Yeah, okay, good
and
question.
And I'm not sure what I should be doing or how to integrate these.
Okay, so it's a good question. When you are meditating on the heart, of course you're opening up to the psychic realm, and there'll be, it's really the realm of the soul. Your soul had many experiences, not just from this life, but many lives, because we're in duality here, right? There is lifetimes. So now the work that you do and is that you are in control. So if you are suffering as uncomfortable, you lift your attention away and you go to something more luminous. Okay?
But because, are, am I being shown those memories because they have to be dealt with? Is that part of shifting my karma and evolving my karma? Am I being showed that?
When you, good question.
It's not like I have a memory of this.
It's
not like I wanted to go. I don't feel like I chose it. I was actually like, what is that? And I got mad. Why are you bringing me here?
The sign that, that you are, it matters that you recycle the energy.
Okay.
Okay, if you feel like there, you are in a psychic experience and it's pleasant and there is some expansion going on, then you're recycling something that's unfinished in a past life or maybe earlier from this life. Then you let that happen. But if you're just seeing something and you're even bringing up questions and you're noticing and there's nothing happening, then either you're blocking the flow, then you just, you know, check, is this something pleasant? Am I expanding? Is my light increasing, my well-being?
You know, I felt like it was something bad that I was being shown.
Good. Well, then if you're shown something bad, then you shut it down and you bring your attention to the your yantra or your deity or your mantra or back to just the heart chakra. Just the feeling, attention, even touch your heart chakra, put your hand there, bring your attention there. You're here, you're sitting, that's it. You see, the skill that you're learning, and this is very important, is that you must learn to master your mind. This is because this is the whole point why we're doing this. You have free will, and because when you go to a negative energy, you will drain off your light there, and you will also, you know, often sometimes be sucked in even deeper. That's when you don't want that.
But is there an honor of the memories to be released or an experience that I'm not of right now?
No, this is all healing talk. No, in enlightenment, there is none of that. You're either in duality or in unity consciousness. Your choice is to be in the core.
So it's not about healing that. It's about just to move into the core. Okay, so it's okay.
Yes, because when you're in the core, you instantly deleted it. You see, it doesn't exist.
Okay, well, that's what I guess that was the answer to my question.
Good.
I wasn't sure if I'm in the psychic, like I knew I was in another realm. I wouldn't know this.
Yes.
I'm being shown it, and I'm going, well, what do I do with it then? So you're saying just put it in.
Yes,
put it into the core.
Yes. Yeah, you don't even put it into the core. Your awareness is resting back on the core. Your attention goes back into the core.
Okay.
Or, like I said, on the heart chakra or an image like a yantra. Because when you're in the psychic realm and you have resonances according to your patterns and vibrations in your unconscious, you will have, it happens at times that you're going to have somebody show up that is not nice and you can feel it.
Right.
And you just say, thank you very much. Please get out of here. And you just pull yourself back and you reshift your attention. Because when your attention is on the light, on your core, on emptiness,
you
are safe. Nobody can get your energy.
Right, because I don't want to be afraid of going there.
No, that's right. That's right. You don't want to be afraid. When you're afraid, you are going to go back in outside of duality, shift back into your core.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Is this really clear, Nola?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Okay. My goodness, this is already an hour and a half, but I wanted to finish up a chanting together, and I'm going to quickly check how interactive sounds, how busy it is. Okay, what we're going to do is this. emptiness, pure emptiness, nothingness, also Lord Shiva. And this is such a nice time to actually be in this utter stillness, this void and nothing, emptiness. So I'm going to introduce this for a few minutes. This is a Siddha practice that goes through the whole body. And we're going to use the chanting out loud, wherever you are. You know, hopefully nobody in your family is bothered by that. You're going to chant Om Namah Shivaya. And we're going to do it like this. And if you don't want to chant, that's fine. When you chant, you're going to do a nice alignment and a nice cleanse through all the chakras. Om is in the third eye. Om, and it goes up into the crown. Om, om. And then you bring deep breath and you na. You bring your attention to the base chakra. Na. And then we breathe new breath. Ma. Second chakra. Ma. And then new breath. Third chakra, Shi, and then heart chakra, Va, and then throat chakra, Ya, and then again, Om, third eye, up, crown chakra, Na, base chakra. So I'll just lead it, and you can just sort of, you're going to get the hang out of it pretty fast, and you can just chant along with me. Sit relatively straight, and we'll just start. You're going to used to have to take deep breath. And the third eye. Om. Na. One more round. Na. Beautiful. And like always, you can remain seated in the meditation longer if you like. Otherwise, allow yourself to come out naturally and slowly. Take your time to reorient yourself for the next 15 minutes. And just be still. Know that you're always stillness, silence, you are eternity. Even in the most active moments, even when mind is busy, even when there's sensation, feelings, if there's questions, you've always been here and will always be here. You're immortal. You are the clear light of existence. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Thank you, and have a wonderful morning, day, evening, night, wherever you are. Okay, bye.
The moderator has left the conference.